This week's podcast sponsor is AmishFriendFinder.com. That's AmishFriendFinder.com. Are you a lonely Mennonite looking to raise the barn with that pious little omelet you've been dreaming of? If so, pause this podcast, log into their website on your phone or tablet, and download their app. You can also check them out online. Log in now to become their very first user. You'll get a free membership and a free $50 gas card. Find your Amish paradise at AmishFriendFinder.com.
Gonna tell you a story about Chuck and Diane.
Welcome back to We're All Yankovics.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, or party.
Be like, Cheerio.
Cheerio. Chip, chip. What are we talking about today, mate?
Oh, I'm talking about Buckingham.
Wow. You're almost as good
Francisco.
As
Francisco.
Dick Van.
No, Patton. Dick Van Dyke.
Did I say Patton?
Yeah, you said
him
Van,
too. They both do as good of a British accent. Dick Van Dyke.
Right. Well, apparently he said that his English tutor, like dialect coach, was like Scottish or something, and that's the reason it's like they got him a coach.
He's trying to do Cockney, and he ended up doing like some weird Scottish British hybrid. What the heck are you doing, kind of thing?
Yeah,
that's about as good as yours.
All right, hey, I am okay being equally compared to Dick Van Dyke.
Yes. All right, what are we doing this today?
No, Weird Al Yankovic.
Weirdle?
That's the first one.
Weirdle?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. 1983. It's off the first album.
Okay, we're doing Buckingham Blues?
Buckingham Blues.
Okay.
That's what I said.
You said Weird Al Yankovic.
No, I said Buckingham Blues.
Well, no one can understand you when you say it like that. Or did I Buckingham Blues? What?
Why is Orson already breaking through the
that
door?
That wasn't Orson. That was Orson's British cousin.
Oh, okay.
Nigel.
Why is he visiting? Why is Nigel visiting?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
In that case, I don't want Orson on this episode. I'm getting Nigel.
Oh, gee. You're not going to understand a word Nigel says.
Nigel's coming on.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll punch him a couple of times to get him to be more American. I don't understand.
Violence makes everything more American.
Yes, exactly. This is the little story about Charles and Diana.
Charles, yes.
Yes. They were the prince and princess of England for a period of time.
Were they?
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
I think Charles still technically is.
He's still the prince and princess.
Yes, he is. His ears
little
are the
known
princess.
Fact.
and it's just a blues song about it.
That's all it is.
About their home.
Nothing more.
Nothing more.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, we have more.
I mean, we don't have much more, honestly.
Okay.
It was original. I mean, as you can tell, like anybody who listens to the first two verses, I mean, it even stretches to the second verses. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you could just take those lyrics and put them right on. It was obviously a Jack and Diane reference.
Right.
He wanted to do the parody. Al wanted to do the parody. Yep. Mellencamp said no.
Boo.
Because apparently Mellencamp was trying to sell the rights to Jack and Diane to the movie studios so they could make a movie of that.
Huh.
And as Weird Al says,
no,
because we've seen that, right? So that's why he couldn't do it.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Weird Al went on to say that since it was his first album, he thought about maybe doing something that wasn't a direct parody. He even references like Vanilla Ice. He's like, maybe if I change one of the notes, it won't be technically a parody.
Okay.
However, he realized that, especially on his first album, if he's not going to do a parody, don't do half parodies, because that will. He didn't say this specifically, but in my mind, he sort of goes, that's going to kind of ruin the brand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm not doing real parodies, if I'm only kind of like half.
Yeah.
Parodying things,
no.
It's not going to be as fun.
Okay.
So he took the whole thing, turned it into a blues song.
Yep, changed a couple of lyrics.
Well, I mean, the first two verses are straight
I'm sure he didn't.
The verses. I mean, like, even referencing sports and star and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, you can put it right over the original.
Exactly.
But then it kind of goes off.
Then it goes
end.
Off. Then he works some stuff, and it works. And it's fun. I mean, like, I personally, lyrically, like all the times that he sets up the rhyme for blues. Because, I mean, like, because being in the, we do enough improv that we're like, we understand target rhymes and things like that. And so whenever he says, like, shoes, and I'm like, oh, he set up the rhyme for blues.
Nice.
Yay, good for him. But, and I don't, I mean, obviously in any song he does that, but in this song, for some reason, it really kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah.
He's like, Caribbean Cruise. And I'm like, oh, he's on the chorus. Good job.
Nice.
So what are your thoughts on this song?
I wish it had stuck with the original plan.
He couldn't have technically.
I know, but I wish he could have.
Okay.
I wish it hadn't turned out that way. Because I think this would be a much better song if it was actually a parody of Jack and I Am, which was a huge song in the early 80s. Yep. It made Mellencamp. And I think it would have been a way better song, and I wish it had happened that way because I'm not a huge fan of Buckingham Blues.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a great blues song.
It's not. It's weirdly generic, but not even generic blues.
Because generic blues is way better.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So this is just sort of like a...
It's not great. Yeah. I'm not a fan of this song, and not sure if it's my least favorite on the album, but it's up there.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I'm just once I realized it took me a while to realize it was a Jack and Diane parody to begin with.
Really?
Yeah.
That first line, I was young.
You know, it didn't occur to me till later. It's like, oh, this could have been. I thought I was really clever. Like, oh wow, this could have been Jack and Diane. He should have done that. And it didn't even occur to me that he actually had until a couple years later. Like, when I got a little bit older, I'm like, oh, obviously it was. That was his original plan. Must be.
Don't you hate that when you're like, this is brilliant. Look what I came up with. And people are like, yeah, duh.
Well, this is before the internet. This is like, you know, early teens when I finally had that connection. Like, wait a minute. I bet he really did mean to do that. And, you know, like, oh, yeah, probably. Then I got confirmation years later. I'm like, yeah, I knew it. But at first, I didn't. I saw it was like a blues song about, you know, Charles and Diana. I'm like, why is he doing a blues song about a couple of British people?
Well, I don't think as kids when that stuff happened, right. I don't think we didn't get it.
Right.
And the more and more you learn about it, the more and more you feel like, oh, wait, that was something that
it was huge adults at the cared time. About. Yeah, exactly. But even when this song came out, it was like 3 years after all that happened. So... I don't know. Well, they got married in 81, where it was a giant spectacle, and they're all.
Well, this didn't come. This came out in 83, so
a couple years later. But well, I guess it was still in tabloids a lot.
Let's get a little historical reference. Let's bring Nigel in.
Nigel, okay, yeah. Sorry, Orson.
Hey, Nigel. Yeah, Orson, there's another muffin on the table.
Oh my God!
Hey, Nigel, nice to meet you.
Oh, it's nice to meet you.
Are you as old as Orson? Or?
No, he's my older cousin here. I'm not quite in my hundreds yet. I'm only 84.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. Speaking of the 80s. tell us a little bit. I mean, as an American, I am very unknowledgeable.
We know, yes, we know. We
all know. You didn't let me finish the sentence.
No, I thought
Charles and Diane.
Yes, Diana. They were called Diane. See? Diana or Lady Di.
Yeah.
Which everyone shouted at her until the end, then people stopped shouting it because it was really inappropriate after. Well,
thanks, Nigel. That's really. Horrible to say.
Well, we're British people. We take those things kind of like, you know, we like a dox at the humours, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. It's been a long time since she passed away.
No, well, tell me more about the relationship. Like, why was it?
I never knew her.
Well, no.
Who are you talking about?
Just the Charles and Diana, the wedding.
They were married.
Yes, they were.
For a long time. And when they first got married.
15 years?
That's a long time.
Okay. Not to you. You've been alive for 80 years.
Well, I've been married 6 times, though.
No, that is a long time.
15 years. That's double what my best run was.
Oh.
Anyways, when they got married in 1981, yes. 81 was a long time ago, it was huge. It was the spectacle of all spectacles, because no one thought anyone was going to marry that repulsive troglodyte to Charles. His ears are bigger than most people's heads, you know.
I've heard that.
And he landed this bird, Lady Diana, and everyone goes, how did that happen? Oh, yes, he's a billionaire.
Well, he's also the prince.
Yes, he was the heir to the throne. Everyone thought at the time he was going to be king. That's never going to happen now, is it?
Yeah, probably not.
Anyways, it was all over everything. Everyone's the wedding of the century, and they got married, and they were in one of those horse carriages that was made out of a pumpkin, and it was glass, and they had mice that were pulling it. They were blind mice, and they were turned into horses, and they had to be back before midnight.
I think you're thinking something else.
Would fall off and. What?
I think you're thinking. I mean, like, it's probably very, very close. But
it was exactly what happened.
I'm pretty sure
it was exactly how it happened. You weren't there. I was there. And
you were there?
I was there.
In the crowds?
I was in the carriage.
Oh, really?
Yes, I was the one driving it, I believe.
You were the blind mouse?
No, there was one pulling it. I was the one who was in the front holding the reins.
Oh, okay.
That was me. And nice. I was like, giddy up, you blind mice. And then they got to the end. It was midnight, and Diana's shoes fell off, and she was turned into an ogress.
What?
Yep, big crane ogress. And this other guy, he took her to a swamp and they lived with a donkey.
That sounds very weird.
Yep, yep. They made a movie about it later. No,
good, good.
It's called The Princess Bride.
Yep, yep, yep.
Anyways.
As you wish.
It was huge, and it was in the tabloids, and there were songs written about these two.
So it's sort of like a real-life telenovela.
Huh?
Like a real-life soap opera.
What's that now?
Yeah, like a real-life story.
Oh, yes, stories. Exactly. Like the ones they put on television where there's, yes, exactly. There's more than one episode and they're all connecting throughout an entire season.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yes, why did you just say that?
But this was real life. But yes. This is real life.
Exactly, it was real life.
Yeah, yeah, until it was cancelled.
Yeah, abruptly cancelled.
When they got the divorce.
Yes, of course, that's what I was referring to. Of course, of course.
Okay, well, thank you, Nigel. Go back to your country.
Wait, what?
We're Americans.
Are you Americans? Oh, all right. Bye. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
I think he fell down.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's
Orson
young.
Will drag
he's
him out of
spry.
Here. He's a spry 83-year-old, I think. All right, that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, a lot of information there, I think. A
lot of information. Some of it might have been right.
Maybe?
I think so. I mean, I think it got the names correct,
maybe.
Which apparently I wasn't doing.
yes.
Diana's dad was actually...
King. Wait, no. That was Charles' dad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And technically, it was his
Wasn't
mom.
Wasn't he a commoner?
No, no. Well, no, he was Jack Spencer. Like, Camilla's the commoner, I think. That's the problem. His name is Jack Spencer, and he's also the Viscount Alhrop.
Excuse me?
Apparently, that's his title at one point. I don't know. I clicked on that word, and it didn't come up with anything
interesting. Are you sure not Klingon?
No, no, he's not. Okay. It was sure. A weird, because at first it was like, she is the daughter of John Spencer, comma, Vislop Athrop, comma, and I was like, she's the daughter of like three people? That's kind of interesting,
that
especially.
That blues explosion?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that that band?
I don't
John
know.
John Spencer blues explosion.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Oh, something like that.
So no, she was royalty, oh. Almost. You know,
okay,
like,
almost
like,
royalty.
High, whatever those things are.
Oh, like,
high class.
High
whatever
class,
those
sure.
No.
She
royal. Noble. Noble.
She can be royal.
Noble. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do remember her death.
Yeah.
I was in college at the time, and I remember coming back from like doing stuff at like 1 a.m. or something that day. And I was walking through the lobby, and we, my dorm room was actually part of this like apartment building just off campus. And they, half of it was like old people and the other half was like kids dorms for a college.
That's awful.
And I walked through the lobby and there was always like a person there in the lobby. You know, something about it was just, there was an eerie silence and I don't understand what was going on. And they were watching a news report or something. And so it was like, oh, the princess Di has died. And it was like, oh, that's weird. A week later I walk in and the same eerie silence is happening. And I'm like, something weird is happening again. Right. Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just, it was weird to be like, I feel like somebody's died again.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, like it was weird that it felt the same way.
It was weird. It didn't make the news, but that same week, I think a day or two before Princess Diana, strangely didn't make the news. My grandmother died. So it was
man.
A rough week. Yeah, I lost my grandmother, then Princess died, then Mother Teresa. Like, man, that's a rough week. So, yeah.
Well, it's nice that your grandmother was the celebrity in the is one of the three celebrities.
She was. Not many people got it. Like, who's the third? I'm like, it was my grandma. Anyways.
Oh,
it was,
yes.
It was interesting. That's why I always remember it. It's like, oh, it's the same week my grandmother died.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Bringing everything down.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. What lyrics?
Got the blues.
Yes.
It's the blues
exactly,
kind of episode.
Exactly.
There we go.
It fits well. So the lyrics for this.
Yes, lyrics. I got mine.
Okay.
All right, you'll go first. And Lady Di, well, she must have it pretty rough. Got to sit around in the house all day making babies and stuff. I just thought it was kind of funny.
I liked, I mean, like, the lyrics are kind of nice. He's actually talks about how Lady Di becomes, like, the fashionista for the, like, royal family and stuff. And so they're not all bad. I mean, like, at least Diana gets some like positive things in the song. Mm-hmm. Charles is all negative stuff. I got to start with the first ones. Got to tell you a story about Chuck and Diane, a couple of British kids from the palace at Buckingham.
Yeah, it set it up so, really
like,
nice.
And you're just like, and that's when they're like, yeah, this is Jack and Diane. Yeah. How are you not? Yeah.
Right.
But then he goes on like with the to be a polo star, uh-huh. which is exactly like it's. Oh, it's so perfect. The fashionista it's so perfectly line. That, yeah.
Yeah, it was, there was some good stuff in there. There really is. It's
talks on her princess phone.
Yes, the princess. I was picture like the bat phone, you know, like a sparkly, like a British type phone booth with like, you know, bedazzled in blue. I don't know. It's the princess phone. It's the queen. She has a special mission for me. I don't know. That's exactly what she sounds like, I think. But no, I mean, it's amusing, but I guess I wasn't in that world at the time it came out. I didn't really get who she was. You know, it just was never one of my top songs.
The last line is, those kids really paid their dues.
Yes.
Which is totally sarcastic.
Yeah.
The one weird thing, though, to me now, it's Diana drops half a pound and it's on the 6 o'clock news.
Uh-huh.
Which is weird because it feels like he's trying to make a pun, but it's not working right.
Oh yeah,
money. So like, because I remember like tabloid headlines at one point being like, what was it like? Oprah Winfrey loses 10 pounds in New York in London, and it's like, yeah, she dropped a 10-pound bill on the ground or something stupid like that, right?
Yeah.
But and this sounds like he's almost trying to make that joke, but it doesn't come off right because it's not big enough to make it obviously a joke. So it almost just sounds like he's like body shaming her, kind of like in a weird way, like. But at the same time, it's also maybe a commentary on like the fact that like anytime a little thing happens, but it just, because it's like a weight thing, it seems weird. You know,
I've never thought of it that way. I mean, I've always thought that's perfect tabloid to me. Like that's exactly, they're like obsessing over every little stupid thing that happens with her. Like she drops half a pound and it's on the 6 o'clock news. Like who cares?
No,
who
I understand. That. I just think like she got a new necklace or something.
I never thought
like
that. About
that.
Like,
yeah. I would be less.
Yeah. You're thinking way weird. Too much. I don't think Weird Al meant that as a pun at all.
Well, no, but he you can't. I don't know. You can't use loses a grade for not using a pound pun.
Take
in the middle
grade
of it.
Off because I really don't think he meant that at all as a money pun.
Yeah.
No, I don't think
Well, then it should have been a money pun.
It should have been, but no, that wasn't the. I'm willing to bet. 20 pounds. That's not what he meant. Yeah. So no, it was definitely about the whole stupidity of tabloids and obsessing over every little detail. It's kind of like TMZ.
No, I will buy that. Yeah. Now, for another interesting thing, remember how this is supposed to be a Jack and Diane parody?
Yep.
Weird Al has sung a Jack and Diane parody.
Yes, he has. On The Simpsons. Exactly. I guess it's after the movie deal fell through for Mellencamp there. He realized it wasn't going to happen.
He sang Homer and Marge. Mm-hmm. But the lyrics from that are from Matt Warburton, who actually was a writer for The Simpsons for a long period of time.
Patrick's brother?
Yes, maybe. I don't know.
We never know.
He also helped write a little bit of Community and also is one of the head writers on The Mindy Project.
Did not know that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of cool. I mean, like that's a straight up parody. It's a little, it's just two lines kind of like it, in the show, there's two lines. And then in the commercials, there's more of it.
Yeah.
And talking about the commercials and stuff. And, but that then in reruns gets cut off. So you don't actually get to hear that anymore. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
When they performed it, they did the Simpsons Take the Bowl event in LA where they took over they did a whole festival kind of thing in LA, in September of 2014. And, he sang a fuller fleshed out version of the song.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right. I always thought the version in the show, I guess because Weird Al didn't really write it, I guess. I didn't know that. Was kind of weak. It didn't really
it
fit very well.
It ends kind of weak.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like it's trying to be a parody of a Weird Al parody. Like,
yeah.
I guess it was because he didn't write it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So it just seemed kind of weird to me. Like,
the
that's
weird
not good.
Ending on like grilled cheese or whatever it was. Cheese sandwich or something. Yeah.
They're trying to make it sound like a really bad, like almost like Homer wrote it kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
It always struck me as like,
but it was being sung to Homer by Weird Al.
That's like, what I thought it was weird.
Weird Al singing it as Weird Al.
That's what bothered me about it. Like, if he's singing it, it should be better.
Yeah.
I always thought it was like really a weak parody.
That was from Three Gays of the Condo.
Yeah.
And that was in 2003. It was episode 17 of season 14.
Wow, 20 years later.
We're going to have to talk about this a little bit later, though, because it's going to be on Medium Rarities. So we're going to be talking about it.
Oh, really?
Now, the question is, we don't know.
I hope so.
It would be cool. The fleshed out version, which we'll talk about when we actually get to the song in 2 years, is much better because the grilled cheese line is pushed farther down. And I really want to know how much of it he wrote for that performance, because it's better. It's overall a much better song.
He probably wanted to redeem himself.
I think so. Another a fun little story, which we'll tell you again later, but fun story was originally the part that was playing over the commercials was supposed to be, we've got time to fill. Why don't you pee before King of the Hill? And then at the last minute, they found out King of the Hill had been moved to before them. So they came back and rewrote new lyrics, and Weird Al had to record it like the week of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. What are the newer lyrics?
The new lyrics are like something Weird Al makes a cameo. Too bad it's just so short, or something like that. Like, or something like Weird Al really enjoyed singing on the show. Too bad it was just in a
short
little
cameo.
Short
yes.
cameo. Yeah,
I recall that now.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get to that more later.
Eventually.
So it's kind of funny to like he doesn't do one of the song because it's a parody, and then ends up doing that parody song anyways.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So and maybe now he could redo it. No, never mind. No.
Well, and that's another.
You couldn't do a Princess Di song anymore. Nope. Sorry, that train is.
Well, he's actually said it
off
twice. One time, right afterwards, he was asked about it, and he was like, "Nah."
Yeah.
And then another time, I don't remember why. Oh, and as an update it for the new, for William and his
Kate,
wife tried to do it, and he was like, "No, I'm not going to do
doesn't
that."
Doesn't work. Not
yeah,
diet.
Exactly. But he has been asked twice to try to update it.
Yeah, no, can't do it. You can't. No. Yep.
So that's Buckingham Blues.
Yes, it was.
Lots.
Did we do a rating?
No, not yet. We're rating it now.
All right. I'm going.
How many what's?
1 to 5. Monarchies.
Princess phones.
Princess. Okay, fine. 1 to 5 princess phones. Man, I don't know. 1.5.
Whoa!
I told you it was my least favorite on the album. Probably.
I'm gonna do a 2.
A 2. All right. Yeah. I thought you were gonna go higher because you seem to be more.
I enjoy it, but I never. Yeah. It's also I didn't hear it until recently, so I can't. I don't have a nostalgia for it.
Don't really either. But
yeah, I mean, if it were Jack and Diane, it would be much higher.
I agree. Fully agree. Like, if it was a better blues song, it would be higher.
Yeah, the fun stuff about it is because it's supposed to be Jack and Diane,
right? There's some clever lyrics, like you said, setting up the rhymes clever, but it seemed forced because it wasn't what he wanted to do, so he had to change it, and it just seemed like he was really clinging to this idea, and it should have been let go. I think.
I agree.
I think once he couldn't do Jack and Diane, scrap it.
Yeah, yeah.
The subject matter,
while I understand where maybe contemporarily it was interesting. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not that interesting. Yeah. Like, I don't even understand all that. But apparently it was a thing. Even in America, people were like sitting at their, this is going to sound sexist, but like there were women who were just like sitting at their, watching it on TV and like this dream wedding. And
I heard it was huge. I mean, I mean, my sister watched it. She's a bit older than me. I remember her like just like obsessing with it. She's like, I watched it. All my friends got together and we watched it. It was a huge event. It was one of the highest rating things on TV ever.
Yeah. I mean, like it would be like if Beyonce's wedding was on.
Right.
Like live.
On for sure. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
So
it was like, her funeral was up there as well, you know, which is weird. Yeah. It was another one of those like events that was like huge.
Well, because by the end of it, she ended up being one of those people who like did everything she could to try to be like take her position and do something good with it.
Right.
So she was in these, you know, she led these like special things. Like she was big against like no use of landmines.
Yeah.
And some other things like that. She also was like
hunger.
She did all the princess things that she's supposed to have done, like proper and like for the most part, like being fashionable and like you know what I mean. Like there'd be like little scandals once in a while because clearly she was in a marriage that she didn't really want to be in.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She took all the opportunities to use her position for good for the most part. Yeah. I'm sure there are probably a couple of things that people are like, well, or if you're actually English, there's probably a couple of times you're like, well, this. But I think overall, like the reason her and Mother Teresa dying so close together are so because I think
they did a lot of the same work.
They seem similar. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a big deal for a lot of people. So that's why it's culturally significant. But yep. I think the song could have been better.
That's a possible. So, I agree.
All right, then.
All right. Thank you very much for listening.
You're very welcome. Thank you for talking.
Yes.
And, I talked too. And thank Nigel.
Huh? Nigel
thanks,
came by.
Thanks, Nigel.
You.
Maybe he'll be back again some other time.
Yeah, if Nigel ever wants British. To call the phone line, it's 302-72-BLUES.
Okay.
No, it isn't.
No, BLUES.
72-WEIRD. That's W-E-I-R-D.
That's
weird. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later.
Bye-bye.